God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours today and every day as they come to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit. Dear friends in Christ, even though the confusion of languages that took place in Babel happened millennia ago, we still live with the problem of confused languages. Only this time, it didn't come from God. Some of these are harmless, as when a younger generation wants to differentiate itself from older folks and change the meaning of certain things so that when I say something is cool, younger folks might say it's dope or it's sick. And I've got to scratch my head on those, but I'm getting to understand maybe why they're called that, but nevertheless they are. Other examples are not quite so harmless, as when the military decided to describe those innocent civilians who accidentally died in bombing raids or other acts of war as collateral damage. More recently, pro-abortionists now call themselves pro-decision instead of pro-choice. Instead of using an abortion to end an unwanted pregnancy, now it's used to remedy an unexpected pregnancy. Now, instead of accusing pro-lifers of promoting back-alley abortions, they say that pro-lifers are promoting criminal health care. On another front, if you think that equity means the same thing as equality, you haven't been paying much attention these days. Those who promote equity say what that means is that we need to take from those who have and give from those who don't have in order to establish an equal balance. We've always said that we believed in the equality of opportunity. They say, oh, no, that's not enough. We have to have an equality of outcomes. And so if we find some people are lagging behind in some part of their lives, instead of doing what we would assume would happen, that is, do all we can to raise them up, the proponents of equity say, no, we have to have everybody else dumbed down to their standards in order to achieve a balanced playing field. Now, God confused the language of those tower builders because he observed that if they stay together, they're going to be able to do just about anything that they propose to do. Today's confusers of language say something of the opposite. Unless we confuse language, we will not be able to do what we intend to do. And so, for example, congressional bills go by some deceptive titles such as the Patriot Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the Farm Bill, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Marketplace Fairness Act, and the Violence Against Women Act. Now, who in their right mind would vote against some bills that have such noble titles? Until you dig a little deeper and find out the reason they have those noble titles is to cover up what those bills really are all about. Refining words like what for centuries we thought we knew to be man and woman. Mislabeling causes so they sound better than what they really propose to do. These things are nothing more than the 21st century of fig leaves sewn on Adam and Eve to cover their shame. Only in these cases, these wordsmiths are not very shameful of what they are doing. They're like the magicians who get our attention up here and then over here while you're watching this, do what they really intend to do and want to accomplish. Now, spiritually speaking, we know the source of all of this kind of word confusion. It comes from the great manipulator of language. He has earned his titles well as deceiver and the father of lies. From the very beginning, he questioned Eve's understanding of God's words. Did God really say this? Oh, that's not going to happen. You don't understand what he really meant. To combat this disunity and chaos that the devil promotes with his deceptive use of language, God poured out his Spirit, as he promised to do, on all flesh. empowered by that Spirit on that Pentecost, Peter preached clearly about one who is going to bring about a new unity. So important was this message that God caused it to be heard in the language of those who were present. So nobody could accuse anybody of mistranslating or misunderstanding because it was a different language. All who were present heard clearly what God had done through His Son, that He gave His life for all people everywhere at all times. What Peter preached became something that began to unite people together. This new unity was not going to come from a shared language. It wasn't going to come from a shared skin color. It wasn't going to come from a shared gender preferences. It would come from a shared religious experience. Baptism into God's family. Baptism into Christ conveys forgiveness for all the times you and I have used deceptive words and try to deceive people with our language. It brings about absolution for all the times your yes really didn't mean yes. His shed blood brought a cancellation of the debt that stood against us for refusing to take seriously the little deceptions that we created and brushed them off, poo-pooed them as nothing more than little white lies. But now, redeemed and forgiven, we have been empowered to use our language in a positive way, to unite people together in a very simple common confession. Jesus is Lord. Jesus' own words give us the thrust of our mission while we are here on earth. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to treasure everything that I have commanded. John uses his words to describe our destiny, where we are headed, when he wrote, "There before me was a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Paul grasped the truth of how Christ's death was really a uniting factor to bring people that had been scattered abroad together. And he preached it everywhere he went. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. In Christ, you too are being built together into a dwelling in which God lives by His Holy Spirit. Note the contrast. Christ and God are bringing together His people into a dwelling for Him to live. What a contrast to the Tower of Babel, where the people built something that they hoped would take them up to God. No, in His grace, He comes and lives with us through His Spirit right here in the church. Because we have become new creations through that Holy Spirit's work of calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying, we too value language. After all, you learned about God's love through words, words that were spoken to you by your parents or by teachers or by pastors. You could learn the fullness of God's love as you pick up that book of words we call the Bible and read more about Him. Words are important to us because it's part of being created in the image of God. God began the whole creation with words, "Let there be." And wouldn't you know it, a chapter later, here's Adam naming with words every creature that God brought to him to see what its name would be. We inherited the power of words. John calls Jesus the Word that became flesh. As words communicate something about the speaker's nature, so the Word that became flesh communicated something about God, that He has loved us in a way that no other being could possibly do. Without words and without that Word, we wouldn't have known God's love for His creation. We wouldn't have known His desire to unite us to Himself through the death of His Son. we wouldn't know the destiny to which God is taking us to live with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. In the meantime, while we live here, this Spirit empowers us to resist temptation, to use language in order to confuse, to control, or to cancel other people. The Spirit moves us to call out those who would use words to demean, to humiliate, to ridicule any whom God has created. And it makes us suspicious of those who try to change and redefine words in order to accomplish their devious purposes. But perhaps most important of all, it is the Spirit of the living God who energizes and propels our words for prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us and continues to do for us, and to use our words in order to love our neighbors. Amen.